We're looking today at James chapter 5, verse 12. James chapter 5, verse 12. And here in this passage, James warns about swearing. So we're going to talk about the subject of vowing, promising, taking an oath, or swearing. What does the Bible say about this? And we're going to read, first of all, James 5, verse 12, which says, "But above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath. But let your yea be yea, and your nay, nay, lest ye fall into condemnation." Notice that James says, before he gets into the details about swearing, that he's saying this above all things. Above everything else, he says, keep this in mind. So this was, and it is, a very serious thing. And in the first century, especially with the people that he's addressing, this was a very common problem. And this passage, again, is another instance that shows that the Christians to whom James wrote had a Jewish background. Now, the Old Testament taught the Jews to make vows, to take oaths. The Old Testament authorized Jews to swear. They were to do what they swore they would do. For instance, in Numbers chapter 30, verse 2, here's what the Bible says. "If a man vow a vow unto the Lord, or swear an oath to bind his soul with a bond, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceeds out of his mouth." Again, that's Numbers 30, verse 2. In Ecclesiastes chapter 5, here's what Solomon said about making promises, making oaths, or swearing. He said, "Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God." He goes on to say, "When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is it that thou shouldest not vow than that thou shouldest vow and not pay." Ecclesiastes 5, verse 2, and also verses 4 and 5. And so it was not wrong to swear under the law. The law of Moses authorized these people to take an oath, to make a vow, or to swear. The problem was that the Jews misused vows. They swore, but they wouldn't do what they swore to do. And sometimes they swore without having any intention of doing what they had vowed to do. And they swore about little things that were unnecessary to swear about. You see, a vow, by its very nature, where we say, "I vow," or "I take an oath," or "I swear," or "I promise," any form of taking a vow like that or swearing is by its very nature for a special, a very serious, and a perhaps long-term and very important commitment. A vow, by its very nature, is not for every little plan you make or every little wish that you have. If you have to swear about every trivial thing in life, then those vows don't mean very much. And that's why wedding vows, for instance, marriage vows, are so special. That is a special commitment, a special promise, and they are called marriage vows. But after a couple are married, they still uphold that main vow that they make, but that couple who are now married don't have to keep making this same kind of vow about every common thing that they do in their marriage. For instance, if a husband tells his wife, "I'll stop at the store to get something," he doesn't have to say, "I swear that I will do it. I take an oath before God that I will do that." And if a wife tells her husband, "I'll pay that bill today," she doesn't have to swear with an oath. She doesn't have to enter into some kind of vow about that. Those things are unnecessary. Now, the Jews were abusing vowing and swearing. They swore about little things that they didn't intend to do at times. They also argued and split hairs over what constituted a binding vow. Now, for instance, the Mishnah is a compilation of Jewish traditions that even precede the time of Christ. Those traditions were put down in what is called the Mishnah toward the end of the second century. And the Mishnah contains many traditions of the rabbis about many different subjects, one of which is swearing or vowing. And you'll find in the Mishnah, for instance, this statement. This is what one of the rabbis said about vowing. He said, "If a man said, 'I adjure you,' or 'I command you,' or 'I bind you,' they are liable. But if he said, 'by heaven and by earth,' they are exempt." And so they went into the very wording of the vow itself and said that some vows are binding and some vows are not. And so that kind of theology contributed to the problem. And they reached the point to where a vow really didn't mean that much anymore. Now, what we also find the Jews doing is making some vows that actually went against the law of God. For instance, Jesus talked about one tradition, and he named that tradition of the Jews. It was called Corban. In Mark chapter 7, verse 9, Jesus said, "Full well you reject the commandment of God that you may keep your own tradition. For Moses said, 'Honor thy father and thy mother, and whoso curseth father or mother, let him die the death.' But ye say, 'If a man shall say to his father or mother, it is Corban,' that is to say, a gift, 'by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free,' and you suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother." Now, the Corban tradition was this. The Corban tradition said that if a Jew had money or property that he could use to help to support his aged or his ailing mother or father, that he didn't have to use that money or use that property to help his own parents because he could say, "I have dedicated that money or that property to the temple. I have dedicated that as a vow to God, and I'm giving it as a gift that is Corban to the temple." And Jesus said, "You have gone against one of the Ten Commandments. You have circumvented the law of God by your tradition." So sometimes they came up with these vows that actually transgressed the law of God. And they also showed their greed and their disrespect for holy things when they vowed to God. For instance, in Matthew chapter 23, beginning in verse 16, notice how much emphasis these Jewish leaders place on gold and money in their swearing or in their vows. In Matthew 23, verse 16, Jesus said, "Woe unto you, ye blind guides, which say, 'Whosoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing. But whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he is a debtor.' Ye fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifies the gold? And they also said, that is, 'Whosoever shall swear by the altar, it is nothing. But whosoever swears by the gift that is upon it, he is guilty.' Ye fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctifies the gift? Whosoever therefore shall swear by the altar swears by it and by all things thereon. And whosoever shall swear by the temple swears by it and by him that dwells therein. And he that shall swear by heaven swears by the throne of God and by him that sits thereon." So again, the point is that it was not wrong for the Jews to swear because the Old Testament definitely authorized them to swear, to take vows, and to make oaths. The problem is in how they abused that teaching. Now, one of the most famous sections in the Bible on vowing or swearing is in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, verses 33 through 37. And as we read this passage, we're going to be reminded of something that we pointed out as we began to study the book of James. And that is, you're going to see how similar the book of James is to the Sermon on the Mount. Even the very wording of this passage that we're about to read is very similar to what we read in James 5, verse 12. And also, we're going to see the kind of swearing that James and Jesus both said not to do. Let's begin in Matthew chapter 5, verse 33. Again, you have heard that it hath been said by them of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, neither by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay, that is, yes, yes, or no, no. For whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. Now remember in this section of the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus is contrasting not what the Old Testament says with what the New Testament says, but he's contrasting what the scribes and the Pharisees said about the Old Testament with what the real intent of God's will was. So in this section of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is addressing the problem of swearing, not the kind of swearing that God had authorized by the law of Moses, but the kind of oath-taking, the kind of vowing, the kind of swearing that these Jews were commonly guilty of. That is, swearing when they had no intent of doing what they swore to do, swearing over money and being greedy, swearing in such a way as to violate God's law, and especially swearing or taking a vow about all kinds of little trivial things in life. That's what Jesus is talking about here. Now, the problem in Jesus' time was this. The scribes and the Pharisees, the great doctors and rabbis of the law, had all kinds of traditions about swearing. And if you ask them why they taught those things, they would oftentimes try to quote. That is, they would misquote, take out of context, something that was said in the Old Testament. And they did the same thing with vowing. They tried to justify their opinions about vowing by going back to the Old Testament, and that's what Jesus is referring to in verse 33. But the problem is that they twisted what the Bible says. They took out of context what the law taught. And so Jesus tells them in verse 34, but I say unto you, swear not at all. That is, don't swear about the things that you're swearing about. Don't swear in the way that you are. If you take an oath, if you swear in line with, in keeping with the teaching of the Old Testament, fine and good. Jesus is not talking about that. When he says swear not at all, he's talking about swearing like they were swearing, and Jesus said not to do that. And so in verses 34 through 36, he mentions some of the things that they would swear by. And in verse 37, he said, what you need to do is to say yes or no. That's enough. You don't have to swear about every little thing if you're honest. And if you do swear about every promise, then something is wrong with your character. There must be an evil motive, or at least evil in the sense of there being irreverence toward God. Now, the question that oftentimes arises is it ever right to vow? Is it ever right to swear? And the answer is yes. A marriage vow is a vow before God. It is a promise. It is an oath. And even though you may not use the word I swear in that, it all amounts to the same thing. And Jesus was placed under an oath, and he answered under oath in Matthew 26, 63 and 64, where the high priest said to Jesus, I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. The word adjure means to exact an oath. And Jesus answered and said, thou hast said. Normally, however, we don't need to swear with an oath. Our character should vouch for the truthfulness of what we say. So when Jesus and James say not to swear, they're talking about this kind of swearing. They're talking about this unnecessary and even irreverent swearing. And a good parallel to this is Matthew 7, verse 1, where Jesus said, judge not. He was not talking about righteous judgment. He was talking about the wrong kind of judging. And so it is with what James and Jesus say about swearing.